Hello, and welcome back to the Clifford Chance Pensions Podcast, our podcast which goes hand in hand with our regular UK Pensions Update newsletter. It delivers to you a snapshot of the headline points covered in the latest edition. Your speakers today will be me, Rebecca Trapp.
Me, Louise Oliver.
And me, Lauren Sutcliffe.
All members of the Clifford Chance Pensions team.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that introduction. This is our sixth podcast in the series. What does today's episode have in store for our listeners?
Today, we will focus on the new government's upcoming pensions review and the pension schemes bill, and we'll also discuss the FCA's value for money consultation and the final draft DB funding code of practice laid before Parliament by the pensions regulator over the summer.
So as usual, we've got quite a lot to cover. I think it makes sense probably to start with talking about the new government's proposals. Lauren, can you kick us off?
Yes, thank you, Rebecca. So, following the general election, the Chancellor announced the pensions review as part of the government's mission to boost growth in the pensions sector.
That's right. And phase one of the review started last month. This is focusing on DC schemes and the local government pension scheme. Key to phase one is looking at how to drive scale and consolidation of DC workplace schemes, as well as encouraging further pension investment in UK assets. It's all with the intention of boosting UK growth. And a call for evidence inviting input from interested parties on these themes closes on the 25th of September. The second phase of the pensions review is due to start later this year. That's going to consider further steps to improve pension outcomes, including assessing retirement adequacy.
Related to this is a new pension schemes bill, which was promised following the general election. It is expected to contain a range of new measures. These include measures to progress the consolidation of small individual deferred DC pots to help prevent people from losing track of their pension pots, as well as the introduction of a standardised value for money test for trust-based DC pension schemes.
That's right. The bill is also expected to impose additional duties on trustees, requiring them to offer a retirement income solution or range of solutions to their members. The bill will also attempt to consolidate the DB market through commercial super funds and reaffirm the Pensions Ombudsman as a competent court, removing the need for schemes to apply to the courts to enforce an ombudsman decision in relation to the recovery of overpayments.
In terms of the value for money test, Lauren, you mentioned the FCA has also launched a consultation on its own value for money framework. Could you tell us a bit more about that, Louise?
Yes, of course. The FCA published a consultation paper in August setting out a new value for money framework for contract-based workplace DC schemes. The consultation proposes to introduce four key elements. These are designed to require consistency in terms of measuring and disclosing investment performance, cost and service quality by firms against particular metrics, enable those overseeing and challenging an arrangement's value to assess performance against other arrangements and requiring them to do so on a consistent and objective basis, require public disclosure of assessment outcomes, including a red, amber, green value for money rating for each arrangement, and then requires firms to take specific action where an arrangement has been assessed as red or amber.
And I think I'm right in saying that the consultation closes in mid-October. And while it does primarily focus on contract-based schemes, as you mentioned earlier, Louise, the government intends to legislate via the new pension schemes bill to apply this also to trust-based schemes regulated by the pensions regulator. The idea is to introduce a standardised value for money test.
That's right. And speaking of the pensions regulator, what else do they have on their agenda at the moment?
So a big item is the DB funding code of practice, with the final draft being laid before Parliament over the summer. This is expected to come into force in early November.
Of course, something the pensions industry have been eagerly anticipating. What are the key takeaways from the final code, would you say, Lauren?
Well, first of all, for schemes with valuation dates from the 22nd of September 2024 onwards, there will be a slight gap between when the new statutory requirements apply and the final code coming into force. The regulator has said it is not expecting this to cause a significant issue, given the code is not a statement of law, and the sense from the consultation response is that the code is unlikely to change as a result of the parliamentary process. And even if it did, the regulator would take this into account when assessing valuations. Another point to flag is that the final draft makes clear that the regime will not impose any restriction on the investments trustees actually make. The code now makes a distinction between actual and notional investment allocations. The low dependency investment allocation, or LDIA, will be considered a notional investment allocation used to derive and support actuarial assumptions for funding purposes. The final code also defines significant maturity as the date on which a DB scheme reaches a duration of liabilities of 10 years, based on economic conditions as at the 31st of March 2023. For cash balance schemes, this will be 8 years.
And other points of interest for our listeners include that the final code now provides more detail regarding the low dependency test requirements. In particular, it clarifies that the requirement that no further employer contributions are expected to be required. It in practice means that the trustee must be satisfied that the likelihood of requiring further contributions is small. The final draft also amends the definition of schemes eligible for the fast track route to now include schemes with 200 or fewer members at the valuation date. Member count excludes members eligible for lump sum death benefits only, DC only members, and fully insured annuitants where they are not included in the calculation of technical provisions.
That's right. It's useful to have more clarity on the regime now, although I would just flag that a number of further updates are still expected from the pensions regulator. In particular, they're expecting to publish the final statement of strategy and consultation response later this year. The regulator will also publish its approach to regulating DB schemes, including more detail on the twin track approach and the regulatory filters it will use when assessing valuations. And it's also due to publish a consultation on updated covenant guidance and review the existing DB funding and investment related guidance. So quite a lot to keep an eye out for.
Well, thanks, Louise, and thank you, Lauren. I think that's probably all we've got time for today, but we do have a number of other interesting topics covered in our September newsletter, including the recent Court of Appeal judgments in the Virgin Media and BBC cases, the regulator's recent Superfund guidance, and HMRC's consultation on further technical changes following the abolition of the lifetime allowance. We also cover new guidance on preparing for the statutory increase to normal minimum pension age and the regulator's reminder to schemes to prepare for the upcoming dashboards regime.
Yes, definitely worth a read. And as always, if listeners have any questions on any of the topics that we've covered in today's podcast or in our newsletter, please do not hesitate to reach out to your Clifford Chance Pensions contact.
Thank you both. We have come to the end of our podcast here today, so we're just left to say thank you very much to those listening, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
You've been listening to the Clifford Chance Pensions podcast. Please do follow us on LinkedIn.